It's strangely like adult-oriented humor in that
movie.
Yes,
perfect.
That's what Chris loves.
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a show for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets, and David, the one and only Power Trip Quotes. They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. This show is in no way, shape, or form sponsored by, affiliated with, or even tolerated by the Power Trip, KFAN, or iHeartMedia. In fact, we'd be willing to bet that Chad Abbott never listens to a single episode. And now, here are your hosts, Chuck and David.
We'll just start this like they do the After Party podcast and just start talking, right? All right.
So, sounds good to me.
We're here with Power Trip Bets, Power Trip Quotes, and Mr. Z. We are in Mr. Z's basement. I can confirm that neither Lawyer Lambert or Chris Hockey is anywhere to be seen. I looked, can't see anybody down here, so...
An undisclosed location, nonetheless.
An undisclosed location, absolutely. We might not even be in the country as we speak, so... May or may not be, but awesome of Mr. Z to open up his basement to us, and we're going to talk to him, because obviously David and I are the semi-historians of the Power Trip.
Of course.
And this is kind of our role, so we need to dig deeper into Mr. Z. So Mr. Z, when did you first join the Power Trip?
It was about 2006. I was, like a lot of people, I was at work listening to Power Trip, and like a lot of us do, I started talking back to the radio because I had an opinion about something, and so I emailed Chris Hockey back in the days when people used email, and Chris got back to me, and I had some, and so we started chatting back and forth, and I mentioned to him casually that I was going to do a screening of Da Vinci Code. And he, you know, was wondering what I meant, and I explained to him what I do for a living, that I got to see these movies early because I work in the movie business, and he said, would you like to come on air? And I said, yeah, I don't mind going on air. I've done stuff in the past, but I'm not supposed to go to these screenings because I'm not a movie reviewer. I work for the movie business. And at the time I don't want to use my real name. He said, I'll take care of that. So I had no idea what was going to happen. I thought I was just going to go on, we're going to talk. And I call up and they call a hotline. They put me on and Star was hosting. And, all of a sudden, this music come on, like Mission Impossible music, and they made this great big introduction for the mysterious Mr. Z, and they can't, you know, if they can't tell you anything about him, or we'll have to kill you and all this stuff. And so it got set up to be this, and that was the beginning of Mr. Z. And so then, and I still prefer, because I do go to a lot of screenings, I work with a lot of studios, and some of the stuff that I learn, I don't talk about on the radio because I'm not supposed to.
Yep.
And so I'm wise. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to break my word to the studio if I tell them I won't talk about something. So I still go on, but it's better just to not have my name out there. And that's why we keep that. So 2006. So what is that? About 12 years.
Wow.
And I didn't start out at a regular. I would probably go on about once a month. And then a few, 5, 6, 7 years ago, Chris, I actually sent an email to Chris. I just remembered this. Totally forgot about this. Mm. Sent an email to Chris because I felt like it might be getting stale. And I said, do we want to, are we done? Maybe this has run its course. Mm-hmm. And he said, actually, we were wondering if we do it every week.
Oh, nice.
I thought they were just about to cut me loose. And so we then went to every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. And we've been doing that, I don't know, 5, 6 years, something like that. Nice. So, yeah, that's it.
Nice. So we were talking before David got here, before we started the show, that you actually went into the Sludgeathon for a few years and did like the overnight. So
yeah, I remember.
So what was that like? Was that the first time you'd ever met like Corey in person and actually seen them?
Yeah, the first time I went down there was I had met Chris a few times because he was interested in these screenings. And I would usually email him every now and then. So every now and then, I would invite him, do you want to come to one of these screenings? It was close to where they were doing the show. And so I had met Chris that way, going to a couple screenings in the early days. And we hadn't done it for a long time. We just finally went to Star Is Born together, but otherwise we haven't been together. But yeah, so I hadn't been in studio until the Sledgeathon. So that was the first time I grabbed the mic and sat down. And that was actually where I think that was the first year Parrish possibly came in.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Somebody brought Parrish in, and he was supposed to leave, and it was funny because Mark didn't want to leave, and Corey said, well, you can stay, and he pretty much hasn't left since that night. Parrish is still sitting there. And being most people might know that I, at one point, was a St. Cloud State Husky, believe it or not. went to school there in central Minnesota, and so as soon as I saw Mark, I went over to him right away and said, hey, man, those are some fun days watching you guys. And so we kind of bond a little bit, and so I got to know, of course Mark knows everybody.
Of course.
So I consider myself the friend of Parrish in that group, but yeah, that was when I met Mark, and I think that was his, and since then, I got to know Mark Rosen a little bit and a few of those guys. We've done some on locations. I went to the bowling alley and did the Lebowski show. Yeah, that was fun. And Dugan is sitting up there and those guys, yeah, those are really good guys. A lot of people like to know about that because what they're like.
Yeah.
But they're not a ton different. They're not a lot different than they are on the radio.
No? Right.
Everyone knows Chris is a great guy.
Yeah.
The only thing is that Paul sometimes, because he's Paul when you're in the hallway and stuff, but he's Sauce when he's not that much different, but Paul's not a dumb guy by any means.
No.
I think everyone knows that, but there are some people who don't listen very often might think that Sauce is just kind of a big dopey guy, but he's very a nice guy, and he knows what he's doing.
So. Yeah, he's a lot more reserved too.
I mean,
when I've come across him, and even at a stand up afterwards, he can project that he's this, laughable, funny, dumb guy, but he's kind of like more reserved and kept to himself a little bit too.
Definitely. Yeah. Like when the first time I met him too, it was kind of like one of those embarrassing situations because I walked into the studio. It was during the middle of a segment. Mm. And so I just, was being very respectful. I'm going to sit down and just be quiet. And so I'm there in the corner being really quiet. Well, they go to commercial and everything. And I'm like, okay, here's my chance to, talk to everybody and everything. And Corey is the first guy out of his seat. He just comes over and he sticks out his hand. He's like, hey, welcome. Good to have you here. I just couldn't be any nicer. And Sauce had stepped out and he came back in and he like sticks out his hand to shake my hand. And I kind of like, I didn't stick out my hand because like 2 days before that, Sauce had gone on this big diatribe how he didn't like shaking hands, he didn't like germs. And so I was like, well, you don't have to shake my hand. And meaning that, like, not that I don't want to shake your hand, it's just I understand you don't like shaking strangers' hands.
Just pop or something instead.
Yeah. And so it was a little bit awkward. And then he just kind of like looked at me like, okay, what's the deal with this guy? Stuff. But I've seen him a few times since then. He is just a great guy, but you're right. He's definitely got this introverted side to him.
Sure, yeah. And it's nice. I mean, yeah, he's obviously sensitive, and Corey is not. I mean, he kind of stays. It's funny that a lot of times it seems like whenever he gets up and they go in the hallway and stuff, Corey kind of hangs out.
Yes,
yeah,
he does.
He's very conversational too.
But they all have their own roles. When one of them is missing, you can really tell. That's
absolutely.
And there's not just one of them. It's not like, well, when this one's missing, it's not a big deal. It's that they form this thing, and Corey seems to kind of be, I don't want to say the adult, because they're all smart grown men.
Right.
But Corey has, and he's done it to me. I almost could feel bad, but Corey knows when to cut somebody off and just shut them down and move on. And he's done that to me before, where I've got rambling too long. He'll be like, all right, thanks, Miss Z, and I'll start, all right, thanks. And then there's like buzz, my phone is crying. It's like, all right, well. But I realize that he's really good at that. He knows, he can send, he feels the audience that we're going to lose him if we did. It's time. Boom, you're gone. And those guys, so Hawk and Sass might be goofing around, and all of a sudden Corey will be like, last night, the Wild, or whatever.
Right.
Just interrupts it. It's like, time to move on.
Or he hits one of the buttons like, great story, compelling, and rich, and it's over. So,
it was funny that time when Sass and Hawk were there and Corey was gone, and they spent about that entire segment just playing, like, how about this song, Like, oh, here's a banger, and they play 20 seconds of that. And it's like, we're lucky Corey's not here, and it's like, they just go back and
run. Well, I tell you, because there are, so many things that I love about each guy and everything. And this is clearly nothing against Corey, but one of my favorite things back in the day when Corey would be gone and it was just Superstar Chris and Meat Sauce, They would talk about food the whole time. It was like, because Corey was, like you said, Corey wasn't there to like reel him in. You know, like, let's move on from that. It was like, oh God, what about the Wendy's, you know, fries? And you dip them in a Frosty or whatever. It's
I sometimes will text AJ or send a note to AJ because I miss, and I realize you can't do it forever, but when Saturdays with Sauce first started, and basically, like, every week, like, AJ, 1 week would bring in Pringles, like, 8 flavors of Pringles, and then Sauce would have to taste them and guess what flavor it was. And it sounds, it was compelling
radio. It was good radio.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And the next week, it would be, like, Oreos. It's like, I brought in 6 flavors of Oreos, and they would, and they would judge them and rate them, and they called it Beanie Baby Radio, and I miss that once in a while.
Well, and Church kind of, when we had him on the other week, too, it was like, I do segments on Filling In for PA where we do 15 minutes on breaking down Kirk Cousins and all these acquisitions and Viking stuff. And then he brings up the draft of the Halloween candy. What's your favorite Halloween candy? Right. And he's got hundreds of emails and tweets. And
yeah, that is. I was interesting. I found myself, I actually listened to that segment. And I know, I think Common later on, I listen when I'm at work. I sometimes listen to the other shows or a podcast. And Common, of course, had a field day with. Maybe we should do a draft of Halloween candy, you know. Like, I found myself kind of paying attention, going, "What? That you picked that? You know, Sour Patch Kids already? You know,
right.
Three Musketeers is still out there, so I can't help it. You know, we're all. What are you gonna do?
Feel like an NFL GM? It's like, come on, you got to draft that. He's still on the board.
Best value.
Well, that was one of the things I was going to ask you, getting back to, like, you know, feeling the room, getting cut off. Do you sometimes, like, because you'll call in on a Friday, and you're on for about, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, depending upon what the topics are. And then there's sometimes where, like, you'll say something, and then, like, Sauce or somebody will just start going off on a rant. Are there times where you get frustrated, where you're like, come on, I've got a point to make here, or whatever, or...
I maybe would have at some point, but... The only thing that's frustrating, I would never, I mean, those guys, like I said, they've made this, they're like the number one show for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
And they all 100%. Know what they're doing. So, yeah, I'm just along for the ride. Two things I'll say. That one is, I used to kind of prepare before I went on, and I've given up on that.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I actually know kind of what I'm talking about, because I have no idea what they're going to hit me with.
Right.
Because I might plan, oh, we're going to talk about this movie, and all of a sudden they'll say, did you see the new trailer drop for such and such a thing? And I'll be like, yes, and then I'll go into it, and I'll say, this is coming out in this. But I'm like, I was not, I think we're, so
yep.
I never know what we're going to talk about. But what I miss, because if I'm on the phone, what happens is that I can't hear very well. When more than one person on the other side is talking.
Right.
And I'll say something, and either Sauce or Hawk will make a funny, like I said something that, like a, that you could do a, you know, that's what she said type thing.
Yeah.
But I won't hear it. And then everyone will be laughing, and I'm like, ugh, just, like, I don't know what to do. Because I don't want to sound like I was offended or anything, but I'm like, I totally missed the joke. So I just keep, I've more than once have said, I'm just going to keep talking, guys, and then you cut me off. Because I have no idea what's going on. So that could be frustrating. But no, like I said, I've been on for 30 seconds before, it's fine. I'm just working usually on Monday morning or Friday mornings doing my work, and I just call in, and however long they want me, that's fine.
Yeah. Have you ever forgotten to call in? Or
One time I called in, and Chris said, hey, really apologize, but they had like a guy, it was like a John, it wasn't Creasel, I don't think, but it was somebody,
I know what you're talking about. It was the guy who,
was it the high expectation, their low expectations, high, was it one of the, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was somebody like, obviously, you know, it was like a Veterans Day type thing.
Yes.
And I jokingly said, you know, hey, don't you know who I am, you know, but I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't need, this guy's more important than I am. And then one time I forget what it was a holiday. One time in the last 12 years where I woke up and I didn't know it was Friday. Even about those days, like today doesn't seem like a Saturday.
Right? It is Saturday. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was about 2 o'clock that afternoon. And all of a sudden I went, oh man, it's Friday. So I sent a note to Chris and he said, yeah, it was fine. We had plenty. We're fine. So
yeah,
but that's it. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Because I always think about that, because, like, you know, the people, like, charge, too, with the charge challenge and stuff like that. It's like, are there days where they just, like, flat out blank it out or whatever? Because, I mean, obviously, you're a busy person. People are busy and things. And, it's just, it's funny how, I guess, people get into their established routines and they just know that, hey, this is my time or whatever.
Yeah. And I look forward to it. It's something different. It's given me something over the years. When I was a kid, I wanted to do radio. Mm. That was what I wanted to be a radio. That was back when DJs actually had jobs where they would spin records and stuff, you know, and I thought that's what I want to do. I want to just talk on the radio and play music. And, you know, I turned out probably making the right decision.
Yeah.
Doing what I do. I went to college to become a teacher and ended up in the movie business. So,
but there you go.
So I look, it's kind of a thing. I feel, you know, obviously I don't get any money or whatever, but I kind of feel like it's part of, it's my thing that I get to do. I'm on the radio with these guys and I get to spout my opinion.
That's right.
Not as many people get to get on, and like when I go on a rampage about Rotten Tomatoes or about the hatred for a certain movie that I don't think deserved that, but yet I actually can go out there and actually talk to people.
Yep.
And people think that I know what I'm talking about, and so they have a semi-respect for what I'm saying. And that's, you don't get that very often.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
No, I love the segment. I think it's super helpful. I mean, I never really know what's going on in the movie business outside of, you know, watching trailers and looking on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. But then you give your honest opinion, and, you know, if it's a bad movie, you'll let us know if it's, you know, not a good movie.
Right. Usually I'm trying to, and I get accused of being a cheerleader, but one thing that I always like to point out is, let's say it's 18% on Rotten Tomatoes. Those are pretty harsh critics, those guys, if you're on top critic Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
One thing I always like to point out is, keep in mind, if you're, let's move that to 20%. That means one out of every five critics who went to see this piece of junk liked it.
Yeah. Right?
And so that means if you saw the trailer and you think, I like those kind of movies, there's a decent chance you might like it. Just because 82% of the people in this world don't like it, it's still okay if you go to the movie and you like it.
Well, that's my biggest beef with Rotten Tomatoes, I think, in their rating system, is everybody thinks of it as like, you know, you were in school or whatever, and 90% is an A and 80% is a B and that. And really, the benchmark should be 50-50, right?
Yep.
Because that 50 number, if, you know, like you said, if 50% of the critics liked it and 50% didn't, that's like average, or that's like 50-50 or whatever, you know. And the fact that, you know, oh, well, it's rotten at like, what, 69%?
Yeah.
Is that where it goes rotten? Then, like, that still means more than half the people liked it. And
those are people who were made to go to the movie.
Yeah,
that's one thing that people forget, is that the critics, I did an entire podcast on what's wrong with the critic system, but I've made the point that Rolling Stone, you know, for a long time, they imagine if they had one person who had to review opera and rock and country, you know, and techno and rap, and it's like, sorry, you're going to go review this, you know, and they're like, well, that's not really my thing, I'm, you know. And they don't do that. They have a country person, but you know, the LA Times or whatever, they just say, go see this kid's sci-fi film. And they're like, that wasn't good. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you don't like, you know, I'm not a car chase guy. I don't like movies that are just car chases. I despise them. They do nothing for me if there's too much car chasing in it. But some people like that.
Mm.
So don't listen to my advice. If I saw Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift and I didn't really like it, I don't care if you like it. Because I like weird things. I like Pan's Labyrinth or some of the, like Hellboy. I've always been a big fan of Hellboy. And a lot of people don't like Hellboy. I thought Hellboy was great. But I don't care if other people, if I'm not supposed to like it, that doesn't bother me. I understand that I'm in the minority, but I liked it.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I liked your tweet the other day about Weird Al Yankovic's UHF movie.
Yes.
I was like, yes,
that
yes.
That was funny. Well, I realized the tweet was that my son is an eighth grade son, hadn't seen Dumb and Dumber or UHF. And I said, well, it's time.
Yes,
so
definitely.
One day we watched Dumb and Dumber, and the next day we watched UHF. And I thought, what a treat that would be to watch both those movies for the first time. So,
right.
But yeah, I forgot how funny. I mean, you just have to take UHF with a grain of salt because it's an awful movie. But they knew it while they were making
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That the acting was subpar and over-exaggerated. But, man, Spatula City and
Well, Michael Richards, before Seinfeld,
yeah.
I mean,
oh, for sure.
He was brilliant in that movie. He's by
Stanley
far the
Spadelsky,
best part.
Yeah.
Oh, he is just brilliant in that movie.
Well, when he kind of says that that's the turning point in that movie is when Al leaves and lets the janitor do it, and he sits at the bar, and then Stanley Spadelsky takes over, you know, the fun house, and you get to drink from the fire hose the whole bit. So
yep.
So yeah, there's, like I said, there used to be a movie called The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. It goes way back. I don't expect people to remember. remember it. But that was one of my, what we used to call guilty pleasures. I don't like that term anymore. Mm. Because technically, it shouldn't be a guilty pleasure. Because it's, if you like it, don't feel guilty about it.
Right.
Just like
right.
it. You know, let your freak flag fly. If you like it, you like it. You can't
exactly. help
it. If you like pineapple on pizza, eat it, man. You know? Enjoy.
So when you watch movies early, are you watching like the whole movie usually, or because a lot of times you'll talk about like these 15-minute
yeah.
kind of like cut-ups. So what's kind of norm for
when
you?
I go to conventions? There's conventions in Miami and in Vegas every year, and a lot in every studio they pull out a big dog and pony show that'll be out in Vegas and right after the Power Trip is out there actually, and each studio gets about 2 hours. And so some of them might choose to show a whole movie, but what they actually mostly do is like Warner will be out there or, and they'll, so they'll say like last year, Audubon, hey, you know, next winter we have Aquaman and then Jason Momoa and the James Wan and all the cast comes out and,
mm-hmm.
and they get on, and, it's, so then they're up there talking and you get to see everybody. And then they will say, and we haven't done anything, but here's an 8-minute clip and they, you know, no recording and stuff. And then they'll show an 8-minute clip. So you get a feel for the movie.
Yeah.
And they'll say, wait, up next we have Fantastic Beasts 2 coming out next year. And they'll bring out, the director or whatever, and then he'll talk about it. And then they'll show an 8-minute clip of it. And they'll do that for 2 hours. And then Paramount will do it. And then Sony will do it. And so a lot of times, that's happened. And then rather than a whole movie at these things. Now, when I go to screenings, just regular screenings, those are just, you sign up, you just go down to an undisclosed theater and you have to be in the business to go to it. And then you just watch it and then you walk out and go back to work. So, but those are full movies.
So those aren't the same theaters that Rosie's going to, though, correct?
Oh yeah, no, they're not on Hennepin or anything. No. You don't. Although, I've been to. Yeah, they used to have a screening room in Minneapolis that was in a really shaky. It wasn't a theater; it was just a screening room. So those are the olden days, though. You had to step over people to get in the door, So.
Yeah, they always talk about back in the day too, like when Schindler's existed, and that was where we were talking about sports cards and. That was one of the places I used to go. You'd go to Schindler's and get baseball cards.
Sure.
It was like the whole concept of like the adult world wasn't something that was relevant to like a 10-year-old kid,
sure.
And so, yeah. And then you kind of find out that, wait a minute, what are those people going behind that door for?
The magic room.
Is that Mark Rosen from Channel 4? I thought it'd be fun for us to list out some of our favorite movies and get Mr. Z's kind of critique or whatever. So, I was, I had just an idea of a couple of movies that I liked and just see what you think. And then David, you can give some of yours and they can be great movies, awful movies, whatever.
Yep.
And so speaking of guilty pleasures, I will start with Vegas Vacation.
Really?
Now, everybody loves Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
It's a staple. And of course, the first Vacation is kind of considered like the classic or the best one. But I will tell you, Vegas Vacation is the one that I play every time before a Vegas trip, and it gets me so stoked for Vegas. And I think part of the reason why is that it was shot right around the time I went to Vegas for the very first time.
Okay.
So it was the same casinos,
sure.
the same, like, that feeling. Because, obviously, Vegas changes every time
right.
you go out there, and a lot of casinos are gone and whatever. And so I think that's part of the nostalgia for me, is it was shot right around 97. I think I went to Vegas for the first time in 98. And so it's kind of got that feeling. So what is Mr. Z's professional opinion on Vegas Vacation?
Well, I have seen Vegas Vacation, but I honestly have seen it once when it came out. And I remember thinking they went to the well too many times on
yep.
it. But I also, because there's something about the dam, the Hoover Dam.
Yes.
And they had to go there or whatever. All I can remember is there was a couple funny lines.
Where can I get some damn bait? That was Cousin Eddie.
Right. Yeah, and so I don't have a strong opinion on it because I honestly haven't seen it since the year it came out, I imagine. But I don't really, so I guess it's not a great sign if I don't remember much about it. I remember Hoover Dam and I remember being in Vegas, so that's all I remember.
So is your family a big Christmas Vacation watcher?
Yeah. In fact, Christmas Vacation is, I realize that the original Vacation did some things to help kind of push the movie industry forward in a certain direction,
mm-hmm.
and that it deserves some respect as for a movie, but I prefer Christmas Vacation significantly more than Vacation.
Okay.
As a second watchability, and maybe, like I said, if you, for watching for as a one-time movie, Vacation was a great movie. But for I don't watch Vacation every year. I probably have seen Vacation 3 times in my whole life, but I've seen Christmas Vacation way more than that.
Yeah.
And there's just infinite amount of lines in Christmas Vacation that are fun. So
the only caveat I'll put on Vacation is you can fast forward to the Christie Brinkley scenes and watch it every year.
Yeah.
There is that.
Right.
Well, my favorite, I guess it's kind of a series, but and it kind of has a Vegas theme too, is the Ocean's movies.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. They're,
if you talk about one of my, just my favorite movie series of all time that I'll watch, and over, not a comedy like Tommy Boy or, you know, Dumb and Dumber or something like that, I can put on those movies and I love the feel and the sounds, and it's just, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I remember because I saw Ocean's 11 early, and then when we got back to town, I told my wife, I said, she should see this, and I saw it again. So yeah, I enjoyed it. We talk sometimes about that you can make a movie about just about anything. We're talking about Creed here earlier, and Creed shouldn't have been a good movie. There's no reason that Creed was a good movie. Mm. But it's funny because so few studios will have the time to actually write a good story, get good actors, get a good director, and then all of that stuff, you can make anything into a good movie. And Ocean's 11 did that, I think, is that it wasn't the characters and the acting were strong that made that heist thing a blast. Mm. So it wasn't just a heist movie. It was a fun, character-driven movie. And it's always fun to watch somebody take down the bad guy and steal all his money and stuff. And we love the little guy, beating up the bully, basically, at the end of the movie. Those never get old. So, yeah, I like that, too. And that has a lot to do with the charisma between the actors in Ocean's 11 specifically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ocean's 12 as well. But that Clooney's, he's charming, and all those guys together, they made a good movie.
Absolutely. So yeah,
that's I think what it is that it's almost like it's not just the plot that makes those movies good.
Right.
So yeah, I agree.
So keeping kind of with the Vegas theme, because one of my other ones that I had in mind was obviously The Hangover, classic Vegas movie. I remember the first time I saw that movie in the theater, we went to one of those where, you can order drinks at your mm-hmm. seat, and they have people that come around. It was, one of those nice theaters with the recliners and everything. And I was laughing so hard, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I didn't. And I couldn't, because I couldn't leave the movie. I was laughing. It was so funny. And I was starting to get to the point where I was legitimately nervous that I was going to have a problem. And then that final scene came out with the camera roll where they're showing all the pictures at the very end.
Yeah.
And I am very, very lucky that I, as an adult male, did not pee my pants at that movie. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on Hangover?
And we're
talking Hangover 1, not 2.
Hangovers in general are, I loved Hangover, the first one. And I'll tell you my recollection of the movie, and we saw that at what they like to call the house that Celine built in
Vegas.
In Vegas. Yeah. And again, it was one of those things where the director, who at the time was kind of he hadn't done a lot. And he came out and said, we have a passion project, we're working on this movie. I think, I don't know who was there with him. And then that was one of those times when they showed us 10 minutes, but they cut together mm-hmm. like 10 minutes of like some of the best scenes from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this place was just, it was this mixture of people laughing really hard with also being like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. and so it was just boom, boom, boom. And then the lights came up and everyone was just laughing, but like looking around like we haven't seen this before. This felt new. Mm, it felt like a movie and it wasn't just a rehash of the same movie over and over again.
Yeah.
And everyone immediately had the feeling that there's something special about this movie.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just there. It was creative. It was smart. It was funny. It was pushing the boundaries. And everyone knew it. All the film buyers, everyone who was there was like, yeah, we knew that it was going to be big.
Yeah.
That's what I think of when I think of The Hangover, was that sense of that this is going to be a big movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I think it's still in my top three of all time. I can't watch that movie enough. And sometimes, 6 months will go by and I won't watch it and I'll watch it again. There'll be something new that sticks out or that I hadn't seen before. Yeah. And,
Ken Jeong is so funny.
When he
comes out of the truck, it's so weird and perfectly disturbing. Yeah. He's of course, I was a big fan of the TV show Community, so he's great at almost everything he does, except for that sitcom he had last year. Poor guy. But, I enjoy it. That was, one of those. It's kind of fun when you're part of that early experience and you make a call and then it turns out to be right. And you're like, I knew that was going to be good.
I knew Ishtar was going to kill.
Well, on the guilty pleasure side again, my favorite movie involves golf. Adam Sandler and Bob Barker.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore.
Okay, I was trying to think of if there was more than one or not. But
we, at our cabin, we used to have the VHS tape in the 10-inch TV, and every time we got to the cabin that Friday night, we would press play. And
yep. Oh, Happy Gilmore was great. I used to love the Sandler films, and that one, I'm not sure Billy Madison might be my favorite Sandler film.
Mm-hmm.
But Happy Gilmore is right, those two kind of made him, I think. And I love Happy Gilmore. It's brilliant. And that's the one with, I'm dropping his name, but he takes care of Happy's grandma or mom at the nursing home or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Stiller. That is so evil and so mean that he is to those people. Because he's so nice when they're there, and then as you leave, it's like, and he's like, he's putting them on hard labor, and
pulling landscaping duty.
And that's like, that's one of those things where you have to be careful, because he pushed the line too far, it becomes not funny. And you got to ride that line, right, of where we all know you're joking. You know?
Yeah.
And, or another, when the Tropic Thunder, when there was a controversy about him doing the scene where, what's his face was in blackface in the movie. And then they, the one actor, Ben Stiller, had, didn't get his Oscar because he played the simple whatever. I'm drawing a blank, but same thing. They pushed that line right up and maybe a tiny bit over.
Mm-hmm.
Those things make people laugh when you go overboard and push it a little too far, and we all kind of do that shock laugh where you laugh, and then or like a comedian might make a joke, you're like laughing and going, "That's awful,"
right?
But I'm still laughing because that was funny.
It's like when they first introduced Timmy on South Park. It was like, okay, are we supposed to be laughing at this, or are we not? And
but you can't help it. But there's that's what I think of Happy Gilmore, is that they pushed it just to the right level. And he was funny. Adam Sandler was. I mean, obviously from the Saturday Night Live days and stuff. Very funny.
Yeah, he was definitely one where I thought he was funnier on Saturday Night Live than he's been in his movie career. Yeah. Hit and miss. I mean, overall, I think he was funnier on Saturday Night Live. But yeah,
he's found his niche, and he's happy.
Yep.
And he's making
movies with his buddies. Yeah, he's doing well on Netflix.
And he doesn't have any... I think he's come to grips with who he is. And that's great. Like, because a lot of people would torture themselves because they used to be big and now they're not as big.
Yeah.
And people rip their movies, and I think he's fine with it. I think he's cool with what he is.
Yeah, he seems like he has, just a ton of freedom to do whatever he wants. And who could ask for anything more?
He doesn't
have
a budget. He doesn't have special effects. He can make a movie for about $8 million, $10 million, and make a few bucks off it and have fun. And some people like it. So, you know what I was going to mention? And I had a recommendation. But I always get nervous with recommending things. I was going to say, one of the things that I get to do that makes, and people don't generally get to do, is there's been two or three times in my life where I went into a screening and didn't know what movie I was going to see. You know, I was just busy with meetings, we're doing stuff, and I sat down, and I'll give two examples. The first one, that was probably the most impressive, was I sat down, and I thought I was seeing a different movie. And the movie started, and the title card came up, or whatever, it said Juno. And I said, what in the world is Juno?
Mm-hmm.
I had literally no idea. And then Jennifer Garner's name popped up. I said, Jennifer Garner's in this movie? And so I watched this movie having zero idea about anything. You know, the movie starts with, and this the patter they had with the way that she wrote that script. She's taking the pregnancy test. And I had no idea where this was going.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the end of the movie, I was just in tears, you know, when she at the end of the movie, and I'm like, that's one of the, to me, I called everyone I knew and I said, oh my God, this movie. People are like, well, yeah, that's, you know, but other people who saw it later on weren't as impressed as I was, but they had heard of it. They knew the movie was about a young woman who got pregnant, you know, they knew. And if you ever get a chance to watch a movie where you literally don't know who's in it, That's a real fun thing. And I'll tell you one, and I don't know if you remember, I think I might butcher the name. It's called 3 Days Later.
Okay,
it kind of came and went, but that was another one that I saw. I loved, because I walked in, I didn't know what it was about. It was kind of, there's like a mystery involved, sure. And I had no idea where it was going. The movie didn't do a lot of business, and so there's a lot of people who've never seen that. But if you ever want to kind of just have some fun, if you have some free time, just watch a movie like that, 3 days later. I'll use that one as an example, that that is fun when you literally don't even know who's in the movie.
Yeah.
So that's such a rare thing to happen.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
On a good movie, I mean. And you're actually surprised. You're like, what? But whereas if you see the trailer for it, they've told you that. You know that this person ends up in jail or whatever because they showed that he's had to escape from jail. And so when they get arrested, you're not very surprised. Yeah. That doesn't wreck a movie. In fact, they've done some studies that show. They did a control group and a study group where one group saw a movie and hadn't seen the trailer for it, but they knew what the movie was about, but they didn't know the ending. They saw a trailer, but no spoilers. And the other group was shown a trailer that showed the ending of the movie, basically, and spoiled the ending. And the group that saw the movie that had known how it was going to end actually gave it higher scores than the group that didn't know how it was going to end.
That is interesting.
Wow. So for some reason, our brain isn't opposed. We can process that movie. And apparently kind of knowing where it's going to end for some people actually is a positive.
Huh.
So, people say they wrecked the whole movie in the trailer, but not everybody gets wrecked. Everyone would choose not to, but strangely enough, it doesn't seem to be that we mind watching a movie even if we know how it's going to end.
Yeah, because I'm that way. If I see a trailer for a movie that I think I'll like, or just hear about a movie I think I'll like, I will purposely stop hearing anything else at that point, because I don't want to see any more. Right. I know I want to see
this
movie.
You know you're going. Right.
And I'm going to end it right there.
Yep,
so.
That's the right way to do it. But that's why I say that it's fun to watch a movie if you ever get a chance. Where, and it's very rare. I don't know how you'd ever. That's why I bring up the movie because I don't know that it's you'll like it. But it's the only movie I can think of that you probably don't know who's in it that I really like. I love the movie, but it was one of those things that it reminds me of when. Like to tease Rosie because of Wolf, the whole Wolfman thing with the go see it started. And that happens because if you see a movie a month or two before everyone else does and you're there at the very beginning, people who do early screenings and go out on Twitter and they make comments about it, those reviews are generally way higher because there's a certain amount of excitement about being the first one to see something or seeing something new or fresh and you're there and it's kind of fun and the movie starts and and so you have a better time. And that's what that's why Wolfman, he got teased because later on it turned out the other people didn't like it, but it was really fun after that. And so, 3 days later, I was recommending to everybody, and then it did like $12 million and went away. So,
well, I will definitely toot Rosie's horn on the Owning Mahoney that he talked about probably a month or so ago. The gambling movie, because that's all he had to say. It's a gambling movie. I'm like, okay, I'm in. I don't want to know anything else. I went out to, because I couldn't find it on demand anywhere, so I went out to eBay. I ordered the DVD for like $4 from somebody.
Right.
And I'm like, I loved it. I loved it. I absolutely loved Owning Mahoney. So go see it. That one. But
how about The Cooler? Are you a fan of The Cooler?
I have never seen that.
Really? Well, that's specifically a gambling movie.
Okay. I have to go see that.
Yeah. The Cooler refers to, I can't remember his name. I do this all the time now as I get older. He's obviously the lead actor in the movie Fargo. And he is the cooler. So when somebody's getting too hot at a table, he sits next to him and the whole table just kind of...
Okay, I've heard about that. Yes,
I think you talked about that on the after party.
Yeah,
we were talking about great actors who probably maybe are underappreciated and his name came up and I mentioned The Cooler and Rosie was like, yes, The Cooler. It's kind of one of those nice slow movies, not everything has to be bing, bang, bang, bang. It's just a nice movie that is about, his life being a cooler and time to deal with. It paints Vegas as still having a very seedy underground.
Yeah.
And so it's fun. Definitely. I think you'll really like that.
I will see that before March, I guarantee.
All right.
Yeah, it's funny because I do have like my litany of Vegas movies that I have to go through leading up to a Vegas trip or whatever. But I should also probably not even admit this in Mr. Z's presence, but there is a long line of movies like back in the 90s that I purposely didn't go see. I'm basically like Corey Cove's food list. That's like the list of movies from the 90s that I haven't seen. I have never seen like Forrest Gump. Wow. I've never seen Titanic. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of...
You could skip Titanic. Skip big Avatar.
Movies. Because I went through this phase where I was like, these movies got so overhyped, and everybody's right. like, oh my god, you have to see it. And I'm like, no, I don't have to see this. Right. And I just felt like the
dug your heels in the ground. And
well, yeah, like the movie could never live up to, I mean, people are acting like, you know, this is like seeing God in person or something. And it's like, the movie will never live up to all this hype, and these movies are so overhyped. And so yeah, I've got this whole long list of movies that, but like Chris always says, you get to enjoy them for the first time. It's like, I envy you.
Talk about that. Yeah. Like, there's a couple of movies from that era that I would still recommend. Dances with Wolves.
Never seen it.
Really? Yeah. That, to me, that has held up, I think. Yeah. All of those movies kind of peaked and then there's always this backlash. Forrest Gump, believe me, I had a backlash for a while and now it's kind of coming back up. But it was a fantastic movie, and then people disliked it for a while, and then now it's coming back
again. Well, AJ hates it. He falls asleep every time he watches.
He does. Maybe if I need a good nap, I'll go watch Forrest one day.
And I've seen Titanic a total time of once, and that's the total times that I will see it in my life, my guess is. So you don't that one. It's fine.
I can borrow you. I still have the two piece. VHS tape.
Oh, yeah.
It was so long it had to come out with two VHS tapes.
Nope. It's like 3 hours I'm not getting back in my life, right? So. Well, we can't let Mr. Z out of here without talking some gambling.
Sure.
So when you go to Vegas, you know, I know a lot of times you're out there for conventions or whatever, so it's not just, hey, me and the wife are going out to Vegas or something, but what do you like to play? Like, what do you like to bet on sports? Do you like to play slots or table games?
I've been to Vegas 30, 40 times. I've only went...
Oh, good for you!
Good for me, yeah. Well, I was going to say, I've only went once for fun. And I decided one time about 10 years ago, I had a kidney stone. And they had to...
Sounds fun.
I had a kidney stone, and they had to put a stent in, and my body rejected the stent. Ooh. And then they had to try to get it out. And the way they get it out... is not a fun way to get that stent out. And I had enough. It had been a rough month, and so me and my college roommate and my brother headed to Vegas for fun, and plus I had some good medicine. and that was a blast. And we went out specifically during the NFL season and just sat and watched. It was college turn. It was when the SEC tournament, ACC tournament was all day Saturday, and then Sunday was all NFL. And we did it all day Saturday, did football all day Sunday, and then Sunday night we went and saw Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think I did anything but sports bet that time. When I'm out there for work, I usually take a one night and I'll bring some money. I'll play roulette for an hour or two. I realize that's not the most skillful game, but I'm usually just looking to kind of relax.
Say that to David Lambert's face.
Sure, right? It's the most social, and I tell you, you sit at a blackjack table. I won't play blackjack anymore because there's so many unwritten rules in blackjack. And this idea about taking people's cards, which if you listen to that, me and Corey talk about it, there's no such thing as taking the dealer's card. No. It drives me crazy.
Oh, PA will go off on you.
No, I know. That's why I won't play, because they won't believe it.
No, like, he will go off on people that say you're taking their cards.
Because it's mathematically, it doesn't work. It's proven. But anyway, so I won't do it. But you sit down at the people who are there to have fun and goof around are at the roulette table, and everything is social. You're playing. You're like, hey, dude, can you put that on 17 for me or whatever? And everyone's it's a really friendly atmosphere.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to play. I sit down. Everyone's telling jokes and you're laughing. You play for an hour or two. You usually lose. Sometimes you win, and then you go, and then I'm back to work.
Yep.
So that's what I do pretty much. And then I might drop a little bit of money in a slot if I have a $10 bill in my hand.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that's it. I'm out there for 3-4 days, and I do about an hour or two of gambling.
Okay. Yeah. So
that's enough for me.
Get your little fill. Plus, roulette's cool too because everybody at the table is wearing a bandana, right? So.
Yeah. Everyone can bet on anything they want. You can't take anybody's card there. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that, like you said, mathematically, that I know, because that's like, my background is math and stuff.
Sure.
Probabilities and things like that just annoy me when people are like, oh, you're ruining this. Or,
if you're playing single deck blackjack and somebody's kind of paying attention and they've noticed something, but that's why they don't play single
they
deck
don't.
Blackjack.
They don't. Where are you playing single blackjack?
Yeah. No, so if you're playing 5, 6, 4 set blackjack, there's no one. I always heard that people talk about that. They like to kick out card counters. But I was watching something on Vegas and they were talking that they love card counters. Vegas loves card counters. Because those guys make the biggest mistakes, these guys, because they can't do it.
Right? Yeah.
If you actually think and you make a move like, I shouldn't hit on this, but I've been counting cards and now I'm going to, they eat that up.
And if you go right ahead, automatic shuffling.
There's no way you can. So well, yeah, they love it when you think you can count cards.
And they burn so much of the deck, too, that, like, I mean, okay, yeah, you might know that there's 10 aces out there, but those 10 aces could be at the very bottom of the deck. Sure. You're never going to hit them.
Well, and that's all a percentage game. Even, and what can you get yourself? Gain yourself a 0.5% or 1%?
Yeah.
It's just not enough to, you know. So blackjack to me is fun. If I'm sitting on 13, the problem I have with it is their dealer's sitting on a 6, so somebody says I should stick on 13 or whatever. I'm like, he could have a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5. If he has any of those cards, he's going to kill me. I'm not going to hold on 13 or whatever, you know, because there's, you know, half the cards are going to be beneficial for him.
Yeah.
And so maybe I want to hit, and maybe I shouldn't have done it, but maybe I just want to do it. That should be my right.
Right.
Without having everyone at the table go, oh, geez.
Exactly.
You know? It's like, well, I don't want this should be fun.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. It's not.
Yeah, there's been times too in Vegas where like dealers are less than friendly too, and it's like that's where if I don't have a friendly dealer, it's like I'm up and out of there because I'm here to have fun.
Yeah,
you know.
You're probably giving him your money. You sometimes not always, but in general, I mean, they didn't build those casinos because everyone wins.
Yeah.
And so their job is to kind of at least make it entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the fun of gambling is the rush and the fun of winning. And, you know, and when you lose, you know, it shouldn't hurt too bad because you shouldn't gamble more than you can afford, but it's still fun to lose. And then, but it's also being there and the lights and the sounds and you're right. And the dealers and the people you're with, that's a whole thing. So if you're playing with people you don't like and you don't like the dealer, don't buy. Well, yeah. Go.
Yep.
Right. Go to the place where you're having fun.
Absolutely. This is the guy you should talk to too. Cause David, yesterday you were on fire with the golf betting yesterday.
Yes. We took Phil at +150.
Yeah.
And then we bet on the wild game because we had the two TVs and we were hanging out.
Sure.
And it was like, well, then let's throw a little parley bet on it too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Wild were down 2-0 going into the third period, and Phil had just lost 2 holes in a row, so he was down to Tiger on the back nine. We're like, oh, man. Well, the Wild come back, score 4 goals, win that game. And then it goes, the Phil Tiger match goes to extra holes, and Phil end up winning under the lights.
I didn't see any of that. Man, that sounds like a blast. Have you guys, you've been out to, did you ever go out during March Madness to Vegas?
Yeah.
That's a once in a lifetime thing.
The only thing I don't like about it is it's so crazy that like every place is booked and packed, and it's even hard sometimes. Like I've had to stand in lines for like 35 minutes to just place a bet in a sports book. Yeah. It's hard to find a chair.
It's gotten worse every year. The one time I went was a long time ago, and I was out there for the movie convention, and I happened to stay through a Thursday, and so it was the first day of the tournament, and we did the same thing. We went from casino to casino because they had been waiting all morning for their seats. Well, we walked up to full, I forget what, it was in Mandalay Bay or something. It was just full, packed, like you said, and there were two seats, and I walked up to him, and I said, you know, and the guy just looked at me, and he probably had been asked 800 times about these two seats, and he had been saving them, but he said, you know what, I'm tired of it. Take the seats. And so we were like, sweet.
Nice.
But it was the weirdest thing because it was one of my first experiences. And like it was the first round and Duke was playing somebody and they were favored by like 37. I'll never forget that room because the ball, it's like 5 seconds left in the game and it's like at 36 or something like that. You know, or 38. And the other team was dribbling up the ball. They're just locking the clock run out. And then the guy just did that thing at the end where you just throw up a shot from about 2/3 court.
Yep.
And the whole place was like, stood up. And, and this is a total third, but it's going to make the line if he makes it one or another. And so half the crowd goes crazy. And the other half goes, no. And I'm like, this is awesome. I loved it. It was so fun. But, you know, just it doesn't happen very often. I thought this is, if an alien was watching this, they'd be like, I totally don't like this sport. I don't understand this sport because that team is losing by a lot.
But. Well, it's one of those axioms that no game is ever over in the betting community. You know?
Right.
I remember a game, we were out there, it was like conference tournament time, so it was right before the NCAA tournament, but, you know, right before, so like the early part of March Madness, and there was a team that was, I didn't have any money on the game, but we were just hanging out in the sports book watching other games, and there's a team that was favored by 5, and there's like 10 seconds left, and they're shooting free, you know, they're doing the whole foul thing, and they're up like, I think they were up 2, they missed 1 free throw, made the other, so they get up 3, so they need to cover 5, so everybody in the sports book now, both, because the whole time, people, you know, people are cheering on Team A and Team B, like, they're going against each other, you know, the Team A cheers, and Team B cheers. Well, this is one time where everybody unified, because everybody that's for Team B, well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because they kind of flipped, but, so everybody's cheering for overtime, right, because they're like, we're not going to cover with five. Right. They're only up three or whatever. So they're cheering for overtime. And if I remember right, they hit the three-pointer to send it to overtime. And they just go nuts. You're like, wait a minute. The team you're betting against just hit a three to send it to overtime, and now you're happy. But that's the way it works with lines, right?
Yeah, so. It is. Yeah, you're rooting for something completely different.
And Vegas is so good at college basketball tournament lines. I feel like over-unders and spreads and everything. They're just... It's always interesting.
So your convention, Mr. Z, said, is after the Power Trip in March?
This year, it's the big movie convention is just a couple of, like 3 days after everyone. I'll be there on Monday everyone leaves on Sunday.
So there's a good chance that you're going to beat home whoever has to ride the bus home from Vegas in the Church Challenge. Right.
Yep, that is true. I'll tweet back and forth with them.
So if you had to pick, who would you put on the bus?
I think that there's kind of a little funny story that goes with that. I sent out a tweet late one night. I don't know if you were aware of that. I don't know if you ever heard those guys talking about it. You probably listened to most of the shows.
Oh, yeah.
It's an episode where somebody said Chris was probably the best person to ride the bus. And Sa says, that's not what Mr. Z says. And then, of course, they start talking because Chris goes, I don't know, I feel bad. Mr. Z, for some reason, sure feels bad for me about riding this bus.
Yep.
And so I finally had a note. It's Movember, which means that men's mental health and physical health. When I was a kid, I had what I now know are panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, they were called "Don't be a wuss," was what they were called. And therapy was, I'll give you something to worry about. That was, how you dealt with panic attack. So I found out about 10 years ago that I have some panic attack. But I'm fine. I learned what they are and I learned how to take care of them. But that doesn't mean every now and then. And so one night, I was thinking about. And this is just what happened. I was thinking about this bus, and I was thinking about, because I know, Chris has talked about some of the things he has.
Yep.
And I started thinking about me being on that bus and some of the people that you might be riding the bus with. And I was like half asleep, half awake, and I started becoming like claustrophobic.
Ooh.
And I started thinking, I can't ride that would be, and I started thinking, and finally I just pulled up my phone and I said, this isn't right. You shouldn't, Chris ride this bus or whatever, And then I went to sleep. And the next morning, I woke up and I'm like, I had that sense of, I'm embarrassed, And then I'm like, you know what? It's what I sent out. And then so then I've been recently sending out like the picture. Remember the Leave Britney Alone guy?
Yeah.
I've been sending out pictures of the Leave Britney Alone was saying, don't send Chris on the bus, but it was just a little mini thing where I thought, that's an awful thing. So nobody should have to sit. That's the worst thing you could do to me. You put me in a situation around strangers where I can't leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I love being able to, I like to meet people, but if I get too claustrophobic, I like to be able to just move a little bit and get around, take a deep breath, and have some space.
Yeah.
And so you sit on a bus with strangers and not necessarily the nicest people for 36 hours driving at night, and there might be storms. I don't know who could handle that. I don't know anybody could handle that.
I think Chris will handle it just fine.
Chris will handle it just because, he could mentally, he would be able to put himself in that mental mode of, he's been on planes for 14 hours going into terrible situations, so.
Yeah. And I think AJ will just be so shocked by what he sees on the bus that he'll just
that'll be culture shock.
It won't really affect him all
AJ
that much.
Won't because he'll have, he's a very religious man and he'll have faith in that this is just part of his journey. So AJ will be fine. I'd send AJ. Yep. Corey would be, but the problem would be the rest of the people on the bus. Is that fair? If you put Corey on the bus, Sauce says he can handle it. I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we joked about what if Sauce's phone died like within an hour of being on the bus.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh, that would be the worst.
Yeah. But... Oh yeah. Or if he said, yeah, that would be. Yeah. I don't. I can. So yeah, that to me is one of the worst. I would rather sit in an airport. Any day like what Corey did.
Yeah,
because he can walk around. Again, 4 hours on a plane is plenty.
Yeah.
Sitting on a bus with people. I don't like people in general.
So how much would you have, as far as like the buyout for getting off the bus, how much would you pay?
I don't know.
It's
a good question, but it's hard for me to answer because I've thought about that. I wouldn't. I honestly can say that if this came up, I would have. Off air, one of the guys said, I can't do it. That's not mentally, that wouldn't be health wise, that wouldn't be good for me.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to back. I mean, I really wouldn't because I wouldn't be able to do it. It wouldn't be fair to make the bet.
Right.
Because
right.
it'll be something that I don't think would be wise. You know, like, yeah. it's just not, it's like saying somebody who has some bad claustrophobia, their punishment is to go in a straitjacket into a closet for 24 hours.
Right.
Say, no, you don't. No, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Or if you're allergic to shellfish, you have to eat a whole crab. It's like, no, that's going to, I don't want to do that. I can't be right. that with you.
Adrian Peterson might agree to that.
So the buyout would be me not being a team player by saying I'm not doing this. So
I guess I'm still trying to figure out what a fair number is, because you know it's going to come up.
Yeah, I still think anything, I mean, Sauce set the bar last year at 1,000, and so I think anything less than 1,000, there's no, like, 1,000 per person.
Yeah,
so, because Corey got $1,000, I'm like, to me, there's no way they're getting out of it for less than that, so.
That I would pay 1,000 to get out of it. So, yeah, I guess so. I would do that. But I mean, it would be unfair to everyone, because it would be like Sasa, who said, I'm not going to pierce my ear. He had a thing with not piercing his ear.
Yeah.
I got my ear pierced at college. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
He's taken out and
yeah, that was really weird.
Yeah.
But if
he
it's his thing, if it's his kind of thing, like for some reason it was really like opposed to it, well then, yeah, don't torture yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, here's what I think. I'll make a prediction right now. And this is only coming from my brain, is I think somebody's going to do a buyout about 10 hours into this thing.
Yeah.
I think that somebody's going to get off and say, I just can't get back on that bus. I'm going to call an Uber.
Home.
Yep. Yep. Give it an Uber to the airport and fly home. And they're going to say, I'm sorry, but I, you know, because I don't know if people, that's hard. It's one thing to sit on a bus. Like I took a bus to South Padre Island.
Yeah.
That was pretty rough. It was like a 20-hour bus ride. And I was with my friends from college with
right,
beer.
Right.
And I was
time.
Getting, by the end, everyone was kind of like, God, we got to get on this bus. You know, I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if I could do 36 with people, with not a single person I know.
Yeah.
That would be hard.
Yeah. I think my final prediction is Chris loses, but he wins a bunch of money when he's in Vegas and just decides to buy out. So.
Yeah, that'll be another determining factor, too, with everyone being in Vegas and raising some funds.
Well, or if the ghost takes over and there's two people.
Yes.
That's
the, go Lamar Jackson.
Because this is huge.
Because if two people could, if I was like, if it was like, oh, me and so-and-so are going to ride the bus, it's like, okay, we can sit next to each other, hang out, talk, you know, rent movie. That would be an entirely more doable thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if all of a sudden it's, you know, it is Creasel and Chris or something, then that's a lot easier to do. So.
Yeah.
And I think that would be fun for everyone else too, if it was like Creasel and Sauce or Creasel and Chris or something. You know that they would put things on Twitter and it would be like a fun experience.
Pictures and videos. And who was at Charge, I think, had the right idea that bus company should jump out and save some seats and turn it into a power trip caravan back home.
Oh, yeah, that would be hilarious.
Just fill it with rubes.
Yeah, you know? That would be hilarious. All right, well, the last thing I have, because I got to get on the road to Kansas City and beat this blizzard, is I don't want you to read it, because we're all about secrets today. We're in a secret location.
Yep.
We still can't reveal anything too much about Mr. Z. But so I've got a T-shirt that's going to remain a secret till Vegas, but I'm going to show you guys and get your live reactions to it. So this is my official Vegas T-shirt.
Yes, that's sweet. Yep. Yes, people will like that.
All right, so we got thumbs
up. I love it.
Yep.
Well, hey, thank you so much, Mr. Z, for having us over.
Fun meeting you guys. Yeah, we've talked a lot, but we get to see each other, so that's cool.
This was a blast. We will get this up on your channel and on my channel.
We'll put it on yours for now. Don't worry about mine. So,
are you going to be doing some more podcasts?
You know what? I keep saying I'm going to, but I do want to at least get one more in here, because I have a couple things I want to talk about. So, yeah, what is it? It's just I think I'm on Libsyn.
Yep.
Is my hosting. I think you find it on Stitcher. It's just Mr. Z. Mr. Z's movie podcast. It's a, I forget, my daughter read the title card for me, so I don't remember what it was.
And you're on iTunes too, because that's where
I'm
I have you.
Yep.
So,
all
right.
So I will. I haven't put one out for a couple months, but it's time. People actually, people had a couple hundred downloads, so people seem to enjoy it. So
absolutely. So, all right. Well, thanks so much.
You bet. Thank you guys.
All right.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.
I cast my bets at the Surfing Club. 'cause I am coming back.